apologize. We have a backup recording system, but we like to use the primary, and we missed a little on switch for 1 second. So I'm going to ask you, just for the record, to state your ADC number, pardon me, your full name and ADC number again.
Marcus Duane Scroggins, 076368.
Thank you. Again, you are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding their community supervision. This hearing is about the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you concerning at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 6, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
About this hearing, sir. Yes.
That form...
I get a copy of the warrant, though.
You didn't get a copy?
No.
Okay. I will talk to you COO3 about that. But I will certainly, what I am going to do, though, is through this process, I will read the warrant to you. And right now, I'm going to inform you of some of your rights. The form you did sign notified you that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Now, again, this isn't a court-appointed attorney. You have the right to hire an attorney. So see an attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video conference screen, I will begin with the board members to my far right. The far end of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is our acting board chair, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
So my parole officer is the president?
No, you're actually, well, I'll double check this.
Okay,
so make sure. We do have some state employees in here, but your parole officer, your actual parole officer is not present, but your parole officer will be represented by our in-house hearing officer, Mr. Turner. Okay, so Officer Turner. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Scroggins and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you prefer?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Scroggins, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued, or revoked. And keep in mind, there's a separate motion that we vote on that passes this hearing from phase one to phase two. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. You understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Scroggins. I will now begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a couple of ways your company as follows. Allegation number one. Violation of condition number 7 is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 8, 2018 to the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 2, 2018. Mr. Scroggins, is this true or false?
No, it's not true.
It's true?
No, it's not true.
Oh, so you're stating it's false?
It's false.
Okay, I just want to make sure. That's certainly your choice. I just, the way you answered it had me a little confused there. Okay, I'm going to read allegation number two. Allegation number two, violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 5th, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 2nd, 2018. Mr. Scroggins, is this true or false?
False.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number three, violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Manor House, 2422 West Holly Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on about July 11, 2018, prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts are unknown, thus you're absconded from supervision. Mr. Scroggins, is this true or false?
It's false.
Okay. You stated false for all three allegations. So, our in-house hearing officer is going to read the details of these three allegations, and then we'll ask you a few questions before voting on passing this case from phase one to phase two. Okay, sir? But I will say ahead of time, though, keep in mind, we'll have a chance, should you go to the second phase, we'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail during the second phase of the hearing. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Turner, if you will.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 4/13/2018, during an initial intake by P.O. Smith, the offender was placed on the task color code program for him in drug screening. The offender was assigned the color daily and was directed to call task daily, Monday through Friday, and to submit a UA if his color was called. The offender was verbally counseled and given written instructions regarding the task instructions for submitting a urine drug screen sample. 5/8/2018, the offender's assigned task color was called, requiring him to submit a UA for testing. Per the task individual testing compliance summary dated 8/2/18, the offender failed to produce a urine specimen for testing at task on 5/8/2018. Allegation number two. On 4/13/2018, during initial intake by P.O. Smith, the offender was placed on the task color code program for random drug screenings. The offender was assigned to color navy and was directed to call task daily, Monday through Friday, and to submit a UA if his color was called. Offender was verbally canceled and given written instruction regarding the task instruction for submitting a urine drug screening sample. On 7/5/2018, the offender's assigned task color was called, requiring him to submit a UA for testing. Per the task individual testing compliance summary dated 8/2/2018, the offender failed to produce a urine specimen for testing at task on 7/5/2018.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
I'm going to hold you up right there for just the two allegations, and then I'll ask you to read the third, because the first two are very similar. Mr. Scroggins, what is false about the first two allegations regarding failure to provide a urine specimen on those two dates? What is false about that?
If you could specify the two dates, you know what I'm saying? Once I had realized, you know what I'm saying, due to my program, he called me and told me, you know what I'm saying, that my color had came up, and I went not on that day, but the next day, and provided to UA. So I did not provide to UA.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Turner, if you'll continue with the third allegation.
Allegation number three. On 7/31/2018, P.O. Smith and P.O. Aguilar attempted to make personal contact with the offender at Manor House 2422 West Holly Street, Phoenix, Arizona. P.O. Smith spoke to the manager from Manor Halfway House, who advised that the offender has taken his stuff and left the residency on or about 7/11/2018. He also stated that he has not seen nor heard from the offender since his departure. Defender has not made any contact with his assigned parole officer since his departure from the approved residence. Defender has not made contact with his assigned parole officer since his departure from the approved residence. Defender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is absconded from supervision. Follow-up number three. On 8/2/2018, P.O. Smith attempted a telephonic contact with the offender's emergency contact, which is his wife. P.O. Smith received no answer but left a detailed message for any information regarding the offender's whereabouts. On 8/2/18, P.O. Smith called the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and confirmed the offender was not incarcerated in their jail system. On 8/2/2018, P.O. Smith contacted the Maricopa Medical Center and spoke to the hospital employee, who stated the offender was not a patient. P.O. Smith knows no other person's family or friends to contact and attempt to locate the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Scroggins. What is false about allegation number three?
First of all, when I was living at the residence in my house, you know what I'm saying? I was discharged from my house, you know what I'm saying? And so I was unable, you know what I'm saying, to notify the PO before, you know what I'm saying? I was discharged before I moved from there. I made a phone call to the Mesa Parole Office, and I left a voicemail with my PO, you know what I'm saying? But he didn't answer the phone. I left him a voicemail, you know what I'm saying, and told him right after. Gave the address, you know what I'm saying, where I would be residing until me and him spoke again. Also left him two text messages and left him the same address, let him know, you know what I'm saying, the address where I would be residing until me and him spoke again. You know what I'm saying? I had
I am going to go ahead and make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. That is based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018W2262, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to find Mr. Scroggins delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal way or company.
Second.
Agree. I think I heard Ms. Rittenhouse first, so I'm going to say seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Neal. Just one second. Okay, Mr. Scroggins, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. And as I stated earlier, it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us some additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir? Thank you, Mr. Scroggins. Mr. Turner.
Yes, Scroggins was released from ADC custody on 4/13/2018 and arrested on 8/23/2018 by ADC. No new charges are noted. He returned back to ADC on 8/23/2018, willingly adjusted CSED in 12/24/2018 with 43 abscondes. Current conviction, 2016, burglary, third degree, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1989, theft, 4 years. 1993, commitment B, count one, forgery, 4 years. 1993, commitment C, count one, narcotic drug violation, 5 years. 1999, commitment D, count one, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 1999, commitment E, count one, narcotic drug violation, 6 years, 6 months. 1999, commitment F, count one, misconduct involving weapons, 4 years, 6 months. 2005, commitment G, narcotic drug violation, 6 years. 2011, narcotic drug violation, 2 years. 2012, narcotic drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. This is his sixth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. Self-admitted to being a member of the Kelly Park Crips out of East Compton, California. Prior term to supervision, 1992, interstate compact from Texas for 6 months, returned to Texas. 1995, interstate compact from Texas, received new charges in Arizona. 1998, TR release, reached ERCD of 3 months. 2004, TIS release, absconded for 92 days, arrested, found in violation, continued on supervision, absconded for 10 days, arrested on new charges, reached CSED in custody. 2010, TIS release, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2012, TIS release, absconded for 59 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2015, TIS release, completed 8 months. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy, with soliciting sex, possession of contraband, physical assault, drugs, possession, manufacturing of a weapon, conspiracy, promoting prison contraband, and giving false information noted. Other arrest, 1988, possession of narcotics, Texas, guilty, other sanctions. 1988, narcotic drug violation, Texas, felony conviction, probation. 1988, narcotic drug violation, Texas, felony conviction, probation. 1988, burglary, second degree, Texas, felony conviction, probation. 1991, theft, Texas, federal prison. 1992, narcotic drug violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1996, trespassing, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1999, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Has a GD score of G6, V8.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Scroggins. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections to reside at Reborn Assistance in Phoenix, Arizona. On May 2nd, 2018, you're approved to reside at Manor House in Phoenix, Arizona. On July 1st, 2018, Manor House moved locations to Holland Street. on July 31st, 2018. Community Corrections Officer Smith attempted to contact you at your Fruit residence at Manor House. Staff stated that you left Manor on July 11, 2018, did not return, and that you had not resided at their residence on or after July 11, 2018. So, if I'm not mistaken, I'll cross-check with our Community Corrections Officer here in the hearing room. But you stated that you made telephone contact with your Community Corrections Officer, is that correct?
Yes, I did. Yeah, of course, I had no qualms about it. I was discharged from the Manor House. My first obligation, my first responsibility was to communicate to my court officer, what would take place. And that's the first thing I did. I would not do that. That's like basic and fundamental. I know, listening to my history, it's basically like, I haven't learned anything, but there's one thing that I have learned is to communicate with my parole officer. And even after coming out of the second chance appointment center, and my parole officer was the same guy who already did orientations to us at the second chance appointment center. We had a good relationship, So, I had no qualms about it. Once I was discharged from the halfway house, to call my PO, he didn't answer the phone when I called, I left a voice message, and I sent him two text messages. So, I don't know how, this miscommunication between him and I, is taking place, or how he missed that, but I had no problem. There was no reason not to notify my PO where that took place. And I'm sorry about the confusion, I'm sorry about the miscommunication, but there was just, that's just to me, that's basic. I was at reborn. I was at reborn before that. I was at my house. When I was at reborn, I was discharged from there, an issue with one of the roommates. And the first thing I did was call my PO. It's basic and fundamental thing to do, communicate with your PO. And I would not communicate with my people on something, of that nature. Because it wasn't a condition of my supervision that I stay at any particular halfway house. So I had no fear of notifying my people that, hey, this is what's taking place, this is where I'm moving to. If you have an issue,
okay, Mr.
Head, then like it.
Mr. Scroggins, let me just hold off.
Yes.
Mr. Turner, did you have any?
There's nothing showing once he left on 7/31, there was ever any contact. However, there is a couple of notes I'd like to read, which
yes,
show the progress. On 7/20/2018, P.O. Smith put a comment in. Defender tested positive for cocaine. On 7/16/2018, P.O. Smith contacted the offender and directed him to report to the office. On 7/23/2018, for a staffing and to be referred to CHC. On 7/23, there was a comment. The offender failed to report in office on 7/20/2018, P.O. Smith to deliver a non-compliance letter. On 7/31/2018 is when they went out and found out that he had left the residence. There was no contact after 7/20 between him and the P.O. that I can see.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Scroggins, I'll move along with the case supervision summary. Did you work at all when you were outside of prison? Where are you working, sir?
I'm working at on-demand staffing and for solutions litigation.
And how did that work out for you?
Like I said, it was great. Being part of the Second Chance Employment Center, I walked out of prison with the job and after graduating from the program. I'm going to a gang being part of these two or three different jobs while I was out. Was minimum wage, and I moved up to a job that's paying me a little bit more.
It looks like that you were referred to Veteran Services, and attended substance abuse classes at Manor House. Are you a veteran, sir?
Yes, I am.
Which branch did you serve in?
Army.
Well, thank you for your service. What did you do in the Army?
I was a medic, medical combat medic.
Thank you, sir. We have some programming notes regarding your analysis. It looks like on April 27th, 2018, you had negative. May 2018, you failed UA. We don't have an annual analysis for you until May 25th. 2018, you had a negative, but your results were diluted. On June 26, 2018, negative. We commend you for that. July 5th, 2018, vote to UA. 2016-2018, you had a positive for cocaine, so I'll ask you respectfully, did you have any ongoing issues with cocaine abuse in your past?
Yes, I did.
And did you experience some sort of relapse, sir?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sir. Sanctions notes. On June 26, 2018, you reported to Keo Smith regarding your SUA directed by your PO on May 29, 2018. Your director report to task on June 26, 2018. On July 12, 2018, you reported in office and were staffed by Singapore Officer Smith for your recent missed UAs. You stated that you would be clean and that you work overtime so much that you do not have time. You also say that you have not been doing a good job of organizing things in your life. Senior parole officer Smith verbally counseled you, explaining that your parole requirements, or explaining your parole requirements, and that your conditions take priority. You were directed to provide your analysis on July 12, 2018. Parole officer Smith stopped it with senior parole officer Smith to add ETG, or if I'm not mistaken, that said that was alcohol to your UA screening. Additionally, you were advised that if you missed another UA that you would be sanctioned MRC. And I believe that was pretty close to you missing from community supervision from that point forward. So I'll ask you, you were missing for 43 days. From community supervision. So what was going on during that time?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to bring up is that I had no clue, you know what I'm saying, that, like I said, I know I had to do my part in leaving the voice messages and leaving the text messages, even answer the phone. And even in between that time, between July 11th and when I was arrested, because I said surrender request to one of my people that I went, when I between July 11th and August 22nd, I was still on the task in between that time. I was still taking UAs. I had no clue that the people had terminated the violated, put out a warrant for my arrest. That's why even on August 22nd, I finally found out, and I go to task. Task tells me, after I signed in the task say, we can't UA you. You need a referral from your PO, and I'm like, how come you can't UA? They're coming to UA. They said, no, you're not in our system, we can't UA, you need to call your PO. I called my PO, explained to him what Taz told me. That's when he told me you need to come to my office tomorrow morning, and that's when I go into his office the next day, and subsequently I was arrested.
Well, sir, there's some time missing there. You're saying around July 22nd, but you weren't arrested until August 22nd.
Was that August
22nd.
I'm saying between July 11th and August 22nd, I was still reporting to task. You know, it's when I stopped during that period.
How many times did you report to task, sir?
Between July 11th and August 22nd.
Is that consistent with our phone notes, Mr. Turner?
His last UA?
Or was he attempting to report to the task in between?
Let me see. His last documented UA is 7/12.
Okay.
He did have a
July 12th and August 22nd. I had been to task like twice. I never, like I said, I didn't even know how to stop it. Like I said, he told me to report to his office the next morning. That's why I went down there. My brother report date was August 24th. From between, the last time I seen my PO on July 12th, or whatever day that was, he told me my next report date was August 24th. That's what I'm looking forward to. Even after I had called him and let him know that what happened at my house, he didn't answer the phone. I left a voice message, left two text messages, because, you know, I'm saying, I'm about technology. I know that the text message is the record. You know, and that's exactly what time, and August 22nd, I still be doing the task. And even the day when my parents told me, you need to come down to the church on this morning, I was at task that day, and I left him a text message in regard to where I took place the task. And he told me to approach his office, that's why he got me down to social media, I was in the office. I wasn't running from my parole, I wasn't absconding.
Okay, one second, Mr. Scroggins. Yes, Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. On 7/9/2018, the offender had a contact visit with his parole officer. At that point, he was given a next report date of 8/20/2018. He was not arrested until 8/23. On 7/20, the offender tested positive. On 7/16, which is when he got the results, he tested positive for cocaine. That is when parole officer Smith contacted the offender and directed him to report in on 7/23. The offender never reported in, never contacted his parole officer. That's what prompted them on 7/31 to go out and do a house visit, where they found out that he left the residence on or about 7/11 and never reported back. From that point on, there was no contact or no contact documented between him and his parole officer until the offender did report in on 8/23 and was arrested.
And before I ask further questions to Mr. Scroggins, when he reported in, did he just show up, or?
According to the notes, it appears like he just came in.
Okay, Mr. Scroggins, it sounded like you wanted to say something else.
You said that the last document you
wrote
was July 20th?
Well, it might have been when the test came through, but when was his last document an actual... when he showed up to task?
The last test that we have was from 7/16 that tested positive for cocaine.
Okay, so the last time you were reported to task was July 16, 2018, Mr. Scroggins.
That's incorrect, but okay.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members, they have a question for you. And the question is for fellow board members. Mr. Scroggins, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that's important or that you think is important for us to know or understand?
I was scheduled to report to August 24th, and I said, I'm sorry about everything.
Thank you, Mr. Scroggins. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
The board's been on discussion. Fellow board members, I do appreciate that Mr. Scroggins has accounted for his timeline since he was released to community supervision. But for whatever breakdown in communication, he was missing from community supervision for 43 days. And I think that combined with a history of absconding, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for community supervision. Although, as always, we do look to see people put together a safe plan for the return to the community and be productive. I also want to note that I do appreciate that he was working, but it does not look like the community supervision is working out for him. I am certainly open to discussion. We'll go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to this board on board number 2018W2262. Our discussion with Mr. Scroggins, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Scroggins was delinquent, violated in terms and conditions of supervision and had lapses of auto lapses for the mortgage company, inasmuch that he abstained for 43 days. had an unfortunate relapse with the use of cocaine, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
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 Just one second, sir. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Scroggins, your supervision has been revoked, but you wanted to add something, so go ahead, sir.
My last document in UA was July 20th, and I turned myself in on the 23rd. That doesn't seem like that story is something that was still in my community supervision. I still reported to do UA.
I don't know what July 20th is. That may have been when there was a positive for the cocaine. Your last UA was on July 16th. And you were not arrested by the Department of Corrections until August 23rd. That would seem pretty close to the number of days that you're missing from community supervision. What was the July 20th day for, again, sir?
It was July 16th was the last.
No, July 20th did come up somewhere in there.
I believe he, let's see. On July 20th, the comment notated July 20th was that he tested positive.
Okay, so that's just in the quorum, though. Okay, correct. So, sir,
it's okay, July 16th, August 23rd, yeah, 37 days.
Well, if there are issues with time computation, I would take that up with your CO3. 43 days were the case.
How do I feel this matter?
What's that?
How do I feel this matter?
Well, I would bring it up with your CO3, but for now, whether it was that number of days, whatever the exact number of days were, you certainly have started from supervision, revoted, your supervision has been revoked, you will be released on or about December 24th, 2018, which is about 3 months away. And we encourage you to take advantage of this time to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. We do wish you to have a safe and productive return. The same is going to include... What's that?
How do I appeal this hearing?
We don't have an appeal for this hearing. You can certainly look up your time computation to see if whether or not those days were calculated correctly. But